Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday, Black Sabbath, last hour of the program, chosen by you, of course. Get your songs in, and we'll rock and roll till 2 o'clock before Inside Access takes over. Got our picks coming up for Super Bowl 59. But here to talk about the game, the Hall of Fame, and the MVP award, longtime NFL writer. He knows it, does it as well as anyone. Friend of the show, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, Howard Balzer. Howard, happy Super Bowl weekend.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that. I wonder if we have time to talk about all those things, because we could talk about them for a while in terms of what happened last night and all those things. But it's been a good week, and looking forward to the game on Sunday.
All right, let's start with first the Hall of Fame, the MVP vote, because you're certainly a part of the Hall of Fame selection process. No first-timers getting in here, but because it's the AP Most Valuable Player. And I was always under the assumption, because of the top 25 voting, Howard, I'm trying to connect dots for college basketball and football, you have to be a member of the Associated Press to vote for those things. What about MVP? Why has that net been kind of thrown out there beyond sports writers to podcasters and people who host this, that, and the other thing?
Well, that's the way it's been for years. It hasn't been only AP writers. It was just they were the ones that orchestrated the voting, and it became recognized by the NFL as the quote official awards. But it's always been a combination of writers and broadcasters and people like that. And quite, I was a member of that committee, and there's only 50. I was a member of that committee for a number of years, and for whatever reason, I got replaced on it this year. But and anyway, in terms of your first point, that's the way it's always been. Well, I shouldn't say always. That's the way it's been for quite a long time. That it hasn't been limited to just those who work for the Associated Press.
So that being said, what the hell were they thinking yesterday with where they voted Josh Allen winning? And I've said it, and I know a lot of Ravens fans run hot, but him winning it, I'm not like losing sleep over it. I could see a strong argument for that being done. But how are you the first team quarterback, but you don't win MVP, which has only happened twice? It was McNair who shared it with Manning, and then John Elway back in 87.
Well, I think it came down to, and let's remember, if you looked at the points, it was a very close voting. So it wasn't as if it was a landslide for Josh Allen to be the MVP. But obviously, there were enough voters who felt that Lamar Jackson should be first-team All-Pro, which is more based on your play and your stats and all those things. MVP is a different award. And I know there were some who just assumed that because Lamar Jackson won, it was first team, that the same voters would vote mostly for him for MVP. Well, that wasn't the case. There were obviously people who felt overall that the most valuable player in the league and the most valuable to his team in terms of what was around him and all those things was Josh Allen. That certainly is debatable. It's arguable. There's no black and white to this. And the one thing I've always said, guys, whether I vote for something or not, is that so much emphasis gets put on these awards, but it's just people voting, giving their opinion. I mean, you know, it's not a science. It's just opinions of a bunch of people. And I always thought, to a certain degree, that should be taken into account when it said, well, he was the MVP and this and that, and, you know, Pro Bowl, all those things. It's all votes of people with their opinions, and that's the bottom line of it.
Hey, Howard, let's talk about Suggs and Yanda. You know, neither one got in. How close was it, and how long will it take for them to get in, do you think?
It's a great question, because Yanda made the first reduction from 10 to 7. I'm sorry, from 15 to 10, and then didn't advance from there. Suggs did not make the reduction from 15 to 10, nor did Eli Manning. So when you look, you know, use what often happens, whoever gets in sometimes gets overshadowed by people saying, just like the headline there, you know, in every city they're talking about their guy that got snubbed, right? Well, that's going to happen every year, because normally in the past two decades, five modern-day guys have gotten in. Well, this year, I think there was a huge mistake was made by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and only three modern-day guys got in instead of five, because they changed the voting process. And so now it's making it even harder. You know, there's the blowhards, and sorry, Dion, but you're a blowhard. And I think the Hall of Fame listened to some of those guys who are saying, you need to make it harder to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Well, why? Why should it be harder? It's already very hard. I did a study, guys, and aside from first-time eligibles, the average wait for every other modern-day player who's been elected is 9 years of eligibility. That tells me that it's pretty hard to get in. And so, but it seems like the Hall of Fame gave in to those guys who were loud about it being harder, and now it is harder. And so when you only have – now, it could, you know, they could have had four or five, but just the nature of splitting votes when you have 49 people voting, and we each voted for five guys out of those seven, and so you had to be on 40 of the 49 ballots to be elected. Now, here's the one interesting thing about it. They say that there's a sanctity and a purity to the 80%. However, if only the minimum get in, one from the seniors coach contributor group and three from the modern day guys, well, guess what? It's a possibility that somebody did not get 80% because they have to reach the minimum. So how fair is that? And what they did with the seniors, I thought was crazy. After expanding it to get more guys in 3 years ago, now they reversed the other way and made it even harder. And so, it's to me, it's crazy the way this was. I'm curious how the Hall of Fame is going to look at this now, because I would almost say this, guys, not going to sell as many tickets to the enshrinement, not going to sell as many tickets to the game. You have hotels aren't going to be as filled, party venues, there are going to be lots fewer parties. And so this could have a revenue impact on the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I'm very, very curious to see how it's going to be. Well, that's a long, long answer to your question about when will those guys get in and how. Who knows? Who knows how long it will be? You know, next, you know, there'll be 12 guys coming back as finalists next year who didn't get in. And then here's some of the first-time eligibles next year: Larry Fitzgerald, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Frank Gore. So I'd probably have to guess, and there's a few with Jason Witten. So I'd have to guess that probably three of them are going to be in the final 15. And guess what? That means that nobody else who hasn't been in the 15 will find his way into it, because they've made it even harder for that to happen. So I think there were a lot of unintended consequences from this change in the process that's going to affect a lot of people.
Hey, Howard, how hard is it, like, once you get to seven, like, let's take Marshall Yanda, you get to seven, plus being an old lineman, does that make it even more difficult? Because, you know, what are you really evaluating, just Pro Bowls and stuff with an old lineman?
Well, yeah, that's what you're evaluating. He didn't. I corrected myself. He didn't make it to the seven. The other four, that made it to the seven that didn't get in were Willie Anderson, a longtime tackle who kind of got overlooked for a long time because he played right tackle, and in the Pro Bowl and in the All Pro for a long time, the tackles that made it were left tackles, and so he was one. Torrey Holt was the other, and then two first time eligibles, Luke Kuechly and Adam Vinatieri, were the other four guys that made it to the seven, but did not get elected. And Jari Evans, by the way, a good guard, a really good guard from the Saints, who was also, you know, made it to the 10 with Marshall, but did not make it to the 7. And so it's always a little harder for guards. I think there'll be a time when they'll get in. I mean, Yana was incredible with the Pro Bowls and the All Pros and all that. And so that helped him make the cut to 10. So I think there will be a time for him. But like I said, it's hard to predict now to see what's going to happen with this process in the years going forward.
Hey, Howard, how will it affect the stuff that's been going on with Justin Tucker? How will that affect him when he retires with his Pro Bowl status?
Well, we're not
Hall of Fame status, sorry.
Hall of Fame status, yeah. I mean, the guy's had a...
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tremendous career. I believe he'll be a Hall of Famer. If something comes out even more on this whole issue, we're not supposed to consider that with, you know, when you vote for guys, it's only for on the field. And so whatever it is that he comes up for, you know, I don't know when it's going to be his last season, but then there's a wait, obviously, of 5 years where you're out of the game. And so there'll be enough time from the end of it. I would say it wouldn't affect my vote. I will say that. And the Hall of Fame bylaws say that you're not supposed to vote on guys for anything off the field.
Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, video at 81.057 The Fan. All right, Howard, last thing for you, because we know you're a busy guy down in the Big Easy 2 days ago, or yesterday, as a matter of fact, Dan and Hughes from the Chiefs pick Kansas City. Brooks Kabina covers the Eagles for the Athletic, pick Philadelphia. We're going unbiased. Who's winning Super Bowl 59?
You know, the one answer I've given to that question consistently is, I think it's a toss-up game. It should be close. The Chiefs always play close games. They both played 2 years ago, three-point game. And so my rationale, though, is if you pick Philadelphia to win, that also means, obviously, that you're picking Kansas City to lose. And how can anyone pick against the Chiefs in terms of how good they are in these type of games, how much they just always seem to find ways to win? It doesn't mean it's a lock that they will win, but I still say, based on that, that we're going to have a three-peat winner whenever that game ends on Sunday night.
I'm assuming that Patrick Mahomes' Hall of Fame status is going to be cool once he becomes eligible. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer. Howard, appreciate it as always. Enjoy Super Bowl 59.
Thanks, guys. Always enjoy coming on with you. Take
care. Howard Balzer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Hey, how do the Eagles pull the upset based on the point spread? Keys coming up next. Then we'll do our picks. How can you pick against Kansas City? Well, I'll tell you. Coming up in about 15 minutes.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured artist Friday, Black Sabbath. Couple more segments to go. Get your songs in. We'll play them. Super Bowl 59. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Spreads down to one. We'll do our picks coming up here in a few minutes. Kansas City trying to become the first team ever to win three straight Super Bowls. Philadelphia trying to prevent that, obviously. Vinny, let's get some keys rolling.
All right, let's go Eagles keys first, Bob. Number one, Eagles defense, tackle well. They got to tackle well. Hunt's going to be a north-south guy, and he's just going to try to pound you. So I'm not talking there. I'm talking about, you know, like the Worthies and Kelsey. Kelsey has, you know, a bunch of yak yards. Worthy has 154 yak yards in the playoffs. Kelsey, 66. So they need to tackle well. Don't give up those free yards. And I think the Eagles defense, I think the secondary, DeJean and the safeties, I think they do tackle well. Number two, make Kansas City one-dimensional, less than 80 yards rushing. I just think it's going to be hard for the Chiefs to run the ball. I mean, Hunt is, he's averaging 4.3 in the playoffs. Pacheco's averaging 3. Pacheco is not the Pacheco that we're used to seeing. You know, he's like Keaton Mitchell compared to Keaton Mitchell
plagued
before.
By injuries.
Yes. Issues. So, and Hunt came off the scrap heap. He's a physical guy. But Kansas City's O-line is not a knock you off the line, off the ball, whereas Philly's defense is big and physical. So I would be disappointed. If I'm Vic Fangio, I'd be disappointed if they can run the ball on them. Number three, keep Kelsey and Worthy contained. No explosives. Now, Kelsey's got 9 for 136 in the playoffs. Worthy, 11 for 130. And combined, the two have five explosive plays. Explosive plays are plays over 20 yards. Worthy has 3. Kelsey has 2. So don't allow the explosives. Just make them go, kind of like Washington last week. What was it? 18-play drive, and they got a field goal. That is what they want to do. They want to keep them away from the explosive plays. Number four, don't let Mahomes make first downs running. Now he's carrying the ball a lot. He's carried the ball 18 times in the two games so far for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's running the ball a lot more, and they're running that zone read type stuff, you know, where you see him all the time faking with the ball and he's running 5-6 yards down the field and he's still pumping. He's going to run the football. He's going to run the football. Do not let him get first down running, because that gives them easy first downs. Number five, Barkley, over 150 total yards. And I think that, Barkley's averaging in the playoffs 147 yards rushing per game. And he's not averaging a ton passing. I mean, 5 yards passing. So, and if Barkley doesn't, they're going to have a tough time winning, I think. And then number six, over 90 yak yards for the Eagles, for the wide receivers, and for the tight end Goddard. But I think making plays after catch. Just because they throw the ball short, you know, they've got to make plays after the catch. So they need at least 90 yak yards, in my opinion, because Smith has 62, A.J. Brown has 67 in the playoffs. Goddard has 123 yak yards in the playoffs. So, and then the last one, no turnovers. And we heard, who do we have on that talked about, or was the Brooks from the Eagles.
Kabina.
Yeah.
Who picked Philadelphia, by the way.
Yeah, and he said, you know, the Eagles are a plus 10. So, and they have not turned it over yet in three games. So they need to continue that because that's what won for them, taking the ball. And then last but not least, handle Chris Jones. That's going to be difficult. And whose job is that going to be? Most likely Becton, their right guard. Mekhi Becton. And I think Mekhi's going to, whoever they have, is going to have problems with it. But Becton's going to have some problems with Chris Jones. Because Chris Jones is a wrecker of offenses, just like Jalen Carter is. So those are my keys for the Eagles. Now, my keys for the Chiefs. Number one, rush for over 90 yards. The only way they do that, Bob, because I said the other day, I think Mahomes is going to be their leading rusher. So he's going to have at least 50 yards rushing for them to get over 90 yards. Otherwise, I don't think they're going to rush for a lot of yards. Number two, keep Mahomes clean. Handle Jalen Carter. And the way to do that is, you know, Washington game, you know, by having them on the field so much, I think there's a couple ways. All those plays, because the first drive of the game for Washington was like 8-9 minutes, they had that defense worn down. And then, you know, it's easier to throw the football after that. And the other thing I could see Kansas City doing too, Bob, is no huddle. Make that defensive line work. Make them, because they're big dudes, make those two hogs in the middle get tired. Number three, have more explosive plays than the Eagles. Now, the Eagles receivers have a chance to have explosive plays with Brown on those slant routes and Devonta Smith, and especially Barkley. Number four, defense got to tackle well, especially running backs and wide receivers, just like we talked about. I mean, they cannot let Barkley get yards after contact. They cannot let it happen. And with the wide receivers, too, they've got to tackle well. Number five, keep Saquon under 110 yards and 4.8 average per rush. Now, he's averaging, Saquon is averaging 6.7 and 147 yards a game. So if they keep him under 110 and 4.7 and 4.8, that'll go a long ways to helping them win. And the biggest thing is those explosive, like he starts a game, has a 60-yard run, then, you know, then he has a 30-yard run. You can't let him have those big, big runs. Number six, keep Hurts under a 95 quarterback rating. He's got 105 in the playoffs. So if he can have under a 95, you know, then maybe he has a turnover, which they haven't had all playoff season. And then last but not least, take advantage of the beat-up Philly's offensive line. Then, and who are the beat-up guys? The center and the guard. And then Becton, to me, is just okay. So Juergens and Dickerson, I mean, you know, you could say what you, Dickinson, you can say what you, I mean, he was carrying one leg last week in the second quarter. I mean, he could barely move. And we'll see. And Juergens, he wasn't even going to play. And he dressed just because Dickerson was hurt and he had to come in and play the whole second half. So, you know, maybe wear those guys down a little bit, then you can get after the quarterback a little bit.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's Keys. We'll come back to our picks. This is it, the last one of the 2024 season, now over a month into the calendar year of 2025. Booze is on the line. The old Bobster's got to throw a bunch of Hail Marys, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson style. Can they get done? We got prop bets coming your way as well. Then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over at 2 o'clock. Yeah, we felt the sting of Maryland losing last night against Ohio State, and we ragged on them kind of good. Rightfully so. But still, they win Sunday noon. You can hear it on the Fan against Rutgers. They'll still be ranked next week.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, whenever there's finality, sometimes you get a little emotional. Shed a tear, for instance. Football related. Last regular season Sunday, Scott Hansen says bye-bye till September. You're like, damn. Yeah. Red Zone's just a big red screen that says, see you in September, with the music still blaring, NFL film style in the background. Now it's our last time to do picks for the NFL season of 24. And the only reason I'm crying now is because I'm going to have to pay again unless something crazy happens here on Super Bowl Sunday. So Nolan McGraw, before we get to the game itself and the many prop bets that we're going to engage in, Vinny won the regular season again, 3 years running. But Nolan's trying to get back to his playoff form of previous years. So how we looking in the postseason quest for beer? McUltra's here. Yingling's for you. And Vinny getting a half bottle of wine over here.
The king of the playoffs is in front, 12-3. Vinny, two games back.
Mr. January, baby.
That's right. That's right. 10-5. About to be Mr. February, too. And Bob, bringing up the rear, 6-9.
I know. What the hell?
Losing record. That's almost impossible.
With a 5.6 earned run average and a whip about 1.6.
Hey,
about to get DFA'd here.
Just call me Lamar Jackson.
Oh.
regular season.
You're all pro, I'm MVP. There you go. All right.
You're Flacco.
We're going to go in order of events here. So we're going to start even before the game with our national anthem. Now, John Batiste is the singer who will be performing the anthem this year. And it is set at right at 2 minutes. So 120 and a half seconds is the over-under. So right there at 2 minutes. A little bit of history here. Recently, Reba McEntire was last year. They must have expected her to be fast. They set the over-under at a minute and a half, and she was a minute 35, but she's kind of an outlier. Most people, at least in the last 10 years, are kind of hovering around a minute 50 at the least, anywhere up to even 2.5 minutes. So 2 minutes is our over-under. I'm going to say over. John Batiste, I don't know much about him.
I have no idea who he is.
But he is a piano player. I don't know this for certain. I'm going to assume that he's going to sing and play the piano. That might kind of drag it out a little bit longer.
So you're going over?
I'm going over.
I'll go under.
All right.
I'm going over. If he's bringing a piano, too, that thing might not be over. That might be the free bird of national anthems here.
Next one. Over. Right. Coin toss up next here. How about a little history on this one? All time, tails is leading. 30 out of the 58 Super Bowls. Heads has won 28 times. You want to look at the last 10 years, it is 6-4 in favor of tails. And look, I mean, I live by the motto, the tails never fails. So go ahead and give me tails.
I'll take heads.
What's it, a 2-coin difference historically, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll go tails.
Tails? All right, you're not doing much to catch up here.
I'm done. I think there's an asterisk next to mine. Right. I'm mathematically eliminated.
We get into the game now. How about our first touchdown scorer? Now, this is betting rules here, so if you're going to pick a quarterback, they have to carry the ball into the end zone for a rushing touchdown. Receiver, catch the pass. And with that in mind, I'm actually going with a quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts, with a little tush push, will be the first touchdown of the game.
I'm going Saquon.
Safe pick. Don't hate that.
I'm going to get zany and go rely on the expertise of our friend Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. I'm going to say Hollywood Brown.
Oh,
I see a strike laser that stuns us all, and Hollywood will get it. Let's go. Do I get double points?
No.
No.
No double points here.
I'm going to give me Kelsey. No, I'm just... No, I'm sticking with Hollywood.
All right, there's first touchdown. How about defensively? First player to record a sack. Now, I will note here, it's probably not going to happen, but if you feel ballsy enough, you can pick no sacks. But first player to record a sack. I kind of like what Brooks Kabina was saying earlier. Give me Nolan Smith. And the guy's named Nolan, so how can he not get a sack?
I'm going Jalen Carter.
Can't argue with that.
I'm going George Karloftis.
Oh.
Because Hurts has been sacked, 11 times in the playoffs? Get a little Karloftis going.
Lane Johnson's a Pro Bowl right tackle.
Very true.
11 sacks. in the playoffs.
Something's got to give.
Yeah, exactly.
Most receiving yards in the game. A lot of options to pick here. Philly's got the talented duo. A lot of guys getting it done with the committee there in Kansas City. Kind of looking at the history, recent history here with the playoffs. Dallas Goedert, actually the receiving leader for Philly this playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking Kansas City, Xavier Worthy. I think one bomb's all it's going to take. Or one long catch and run. He's got that speed. Give me Worthy.
Give me Goddard.
There you go.
What's the question again?
Most receiving yards.
For the game.
In the game. That's
Hollywood
right.
Brown.
All right.
I'm
double
all in.
Dip. Double dip.
Hollywood. That's life in Hollywood, man.
We're going to go with most rushing yards here with the qualifier. This is just the Chiefs because obviously Saquon's going to lead everyone in rushing yards. It's not really an argument. So most rushing yards for the Chiefs. And what makes that interesting is the odds order here. Kareem Hunt is the favorite, but Patrick Mahomes is second behind him, not Isaiah Pacheco. With that in mind, I am going to go with Kareem Hunt. He has received way more carries than Pacheco here recently. I think he'll have more opportunities. And Mahomes, he'll scramble if he needs to, but I just don't think it'll be enough. I think Hunt will have just enough to get it done.
Yeah, he's been average. I'm going Mahomes. He's been averaging 9 carries a game. He's going to, I think, and I've said it all week, I think Mahomes is going to be their leading rusher.
Extend the play. Yeah. I'll go with Patrick Mahomes like Vinny.
Very good. All right. Now, our actual game pick here. We have 3 picks coming after this, but they are, you know, post-game or over-under. So, Eagles, Chiefs, straight up. Thought a lot about this. Really want the Eagles to win. Rooting my heart out for the green. But I got to go with my brain. It's the Chiefs. Until I see it happen again. And the only other time it's happened was the GOAT on the other sideline with Tom Brady. I just won't believe it. Give me the Chiefs here.
All right, I'm taking the Eagles then. You know, plus 10. I'm counting on their defense.
I'm taking Philly because the main reason, law of averages.
Yeah.
Catching up. They played a ton, Kansas City, of close games. Evenly matched talent-wise, as we talked about all week. Philadelphia might be the more talented team. Keep going back to the X factor, and rightfully so, is Patrick Mahomes. I can also see Bucker maybe being more reliable, kicking a game winner than Jake Elliott. But sooner or later, that fine line, you get blown on the wrong side. I'm going to take Philly to win this game.
Elliott can't make PATs.
Yeah, he's there's a wild card, as they say.
So that brings us to over-under, which latest I looked is still at 48.5 is our over-under.
That is double-check, Nolan. That is correct.
All right, 48.5 for the over-under. I'm actually going under here. I think two quality enough defenses. There's always kind of a feel-it-out process here in this big game. Sure, the Chiefs have been there time and time again, so from a nerve standpoint, maybe not as much as Philly, but if these both teams open with a 3-and-out or kind of stall out, maybe a lot of turnovers going on here. I just don't see it being a shootout, so give me the under.
All right, you're going. I'll go over. I'm either going to get killed or I'll beat Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny, obviously you're picking to win. You got to go opposite day here. I think it's the over. I think both teams have been putting up points in the postseason. I think on a neutral site, fast track in the Superdome, I think we're going to see a lot of offense. So I am going over. Nolan McGraw.
Now, whoever wins the game, the winning coach will be doused with a Gatorade shower, as is tradition. Some odds here. Your favorite in terms of colors is actually purple at plus 225. Yellow, the original, best flavor, by the way, plus 250. Orange at plus 400. Blue, plus 650. Also red, plus 650. And regular old plain water. Ugh, nobody wants that. Plus 900. So purple is the favorite. And that's the case because the last 2 years when the Chiefs have won, they have doused Andy Reid with purple Gatorade. It was orange back in 2019 when they won the first time. The Eagles, for reference, if you're curious, had yellow lemon lime for their 2017 Super Bowl win and the same color when they beat the Commanders in the NFC title game. So take that information for what it is. Because I'm picking the Chiefs to win, I got to go purple.
I'm going yellow. I'm picking the Eagles.
There you go.
And by the way, Fruit Punch is the best Gatorade.
So red?
Flavor-wise.
Wow.
I didn't say that. Too strong. It's delicious.
That's too much red dye number 40 in there.
It's awesome.
You're bouncing off the walls.
It's all good. I'll go red. What the hell? Let's go red. It's my favorite flavor. Why can't it be something you dump all over Sirianni's dome?
And then last year, but certainly not least, Super Bowl MVP, usually a quarterback, just like the regular season. But you never know. I mean, if Philly's going to win, could be most likely Saquon Barkley if he holds up what he's been doing all year. But again, pick the Chiefs, so I got to stay on point. I guess I could kind of hedge, but I'm not going to do that. Give me Mahomes as my MVP.
Give me Barkley.
I go Jalen Hurts, the forgotten guy.
Rises to the occasion. People forget his stats in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Off the charts.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great in the championship game against Washington, too. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts. So there you go. Those are our picks. Booze is on the line. That's what we got going on. Share your thoughts and your predictions on the Plaza Sports text line because we're going to the fun house when we come back. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Terps choking Columbus last night, blowing a 17-point lead. Don't forget, they were up 11 with like 5 minutes left, too. So they let that disappear. And Pagoda, which historically has crapped all over the Orioles, they pick them to win the American League East. Stay open.
Quick draws, fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's start with Maryland. That disappointing loss last night. Texter here says the Terps always seem to look flat or a little weak coming off of these long extended breaks. Usually their defensive intensity is what suffers. Would have liked to have seen Willard a little more passionate with the defensive coaching last night. Maybe some more full court presses to try to, you know, keep that pressure on Ohio State, because last time these two teams played, Buckeyes just couldn't hang.
I hear what you're saying, but for 17 minutes to start the game, Maryland was destroying them. They were up 17. They were shooting 59%. They were defensively all over them like a Kmart suit. I think they took the pedal off the gas, and a couple of players just kind of lost their way. Sheldon Miguel, dude, what are you doing? Even the three made 105. It was like, if he missed that, he should have been yanked out of the game and never to return. And by the way, he did stay, and he kind of cost him a lot when he did play.
Well, speaking of Selton, this texter here, not happy at all, says Selton Miguel either scorching hot or ice cold. That's never in between with him. His decision, like you said, Bob, to shoot a corner three off the fast break, that says it all. This dude didn't take a good look all night.
Yeah, turnaround three-pointers, dribble, monopolized the ball, shot clock winding down, errant threes, and then he slipped and slips and falls on a breakaway. Yeah.
That's what I used to do in rec league basketball.
A game he would like to forget, I'm sure. Because I certainly do.
Moving on here, the MVP debate. This one from Randy says, if people want to go by the most valuable to your team argument, well, that's every quarterback in the league, or at least 90% of them. They're all the most valuable individual on each team. It's the most important position in sports. Can't really use that as the only part of the equation.
Now, I think the biggest thing people use is that they were picked third in a division and the Ravens were picked to go to the Super Bowl.
Let's see another one here. Texter says Bateman and Zay Flowers are both first-round picks. Andrews, one of the best tight ends in the league, likely up there as well. And Henry, top three running back. No need to cry, Ravens fans. Those guys are all top talent. Allen, 100%, did not have the same weapons.
Well, I think that this year, the Ravens guys played like their picks or higher than their picks. And I just think you got to give a lot of credit to that, to Lamar.
This texter says, just my thoughts here on MVP about Allen versus Lamar. How about this for an argument? If Josh Allen played in the AFC North, he would be the third best quarterback in his own division.
Well, he would not have his, you know, I mean, the Jets sucked. Their defense was horrible. Miami's defense was okay, but they weren't great, and they can't play up there. And then New England sucked. You know, so, I mean, Lamar had to play against the Steelers, playoff team. Cincinnati was, you know, at the end of the year as good as anybody, and Cleveland sucked.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though, to that point. By the way, Josh Allen doesn't suck. Let's remember right. that. Would you rather have Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen quarterback in the Browns?
Well, that's not even a question.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So, oh, he'd be the third best. Hey, that'd be a tough third, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And well,
or Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
They got their own problems.
They lose to the Raven. They lose to the Steelers once a year anyway. But scrub quarterback.
One last one here. Getting off the MVP a little bit. Texter says Ravens fans upset about Lamar being snubbed. This texter says he's upset about offensive rookie of the year. How could Brock Bowers not win it? He broke Mike Ditka's rookie records that have been set in stone forever. Set records of his own beyond that, receptions, yards, while catching passes from subpar quarterbacks, Minshew and O'Connell. You cannot convince me otherwise that he shouldn't be rookie of the year.
Record. Just look at their records. You know, I mean, Jaden Daniels took his team, you know, I mean, probably when the vote was taken, he took his team to, going to be to the playoffs.
They
you know.
Were in the, yeah, they yeah. clinched the playoffs.
So, but. And Oakland was terrible, but, you know, Brock Bowers is a stud. I mean, he's going to be the best tight end in the league, but Jaden Daniels, when a quarterback does what he did, and look at what he did for that city.
Turn around a franchise that had sucked for 25 years.
I'm kind of surprised he
didn't suck for
finished ahead
well,
of.
Well, they, for the most part, 25 years. And Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back on Monday talking about the Super Bowl and hopefully Maryland beating Rutgers. And we'll get your Orioles talk wrapped up big time because pitchers and catchers are next week. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. For Nola McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.